If you don't have a Bible with you, don't worry, just listen as we read. If you want to follow it, Matthew 27, starting to read at verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Verse 11, please. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. Verse 15. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And amen. God will bless the reading of his word. Way back in 1829, there was a famous case in America. A man called George Wilson was adjudicated guilty in a U.S. court, found guilty of murder in the first degree, and was given the death sentence. He was moved from the dock to death row. And some of George Wilson's friends petitioned the then president, President Andrew Jackson, trying to see if he would show clemency and he would show pardon. And after a big campaign, eventually President Jackson signed a decree of pardon. And all the supporters of George Wilson brought the pardon to the prison, handed it in, asked to speak to their friend George Wilson. And they said, George, we have a pardon from the president. Isn't it wonderful? And George Wilson said, I don't want the pardon. I'm going to hang. And that's what made this case very famous, because there followed a constitutional crisis in the United States of America. Because the president had granted a pardon, but it was refused. And that had never happened before. And so the debate went on. Well, is it right that a prisoner can refuse the command of the president? Can he say no? Can he say, I want to die? And eventually the decision and the discussion went all the way to the Supreme Court. And Justice John Marshall was the man who was left to give his ruling. And his ruling went like this. A pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends on the acceptance by the person implicated. If he does not accept the pardon, then he must be executed. And George Wilson was executed because he refused the pardon of the king. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, as you sit in Lisburn Baptist tonight, you sit, as it were, condemned without Christ. You're on death row. You're awaiting God's judgment on your sin. But I want to tell you, people have been praying. People have been concerned. And there is a pardon that God is offering. And he gives this pardon because he sent his son. And his son died in your place. And I have this pardon with me tonight. It's available tonight. It's for you tonight. But it's only a bit of paper. It is only valid. It is only valuable. It is only enacted if you're prepared to accept it. And there's people every Sunday night in gospel meetings. There's people who sit in church Sunday by Sunday. There's people who sit in mission halls and missions, and they sit night by night and they hear the message of God, the message of Christ, the message of the cross, the message of this pardon. And they say, that's good. That's brilliant. Imagine God loving me and sending his son to die. That's wonderful. And it's worth nothing because I've never accepted. Never trusted the Savior. I wonder, will you accept the pardon tonight? You see, you could have come to the meeting because you were invited. That's great. We're thrilled to see you. Thank you for coming. We really mean it. Come back another time. The folk here will make you welcome. But maybe you thought it would just be a wee time, an hour, and then home, and it would just be like every other Sunday. But maybe God has been speaking to your heart. And maybe you realize for the first time that you're in death row. And one day God is going to punish your sin. And all of a sudden you realize that there is a pardon. And there's forgiveness. And there's salvation. And you can have it. I wonder, will you accept it tonight? In our reading of the scripture, there was three main characters. The first one was Pilate, Pontius Pilate, one of the most miserable, unfortunate men in the pages of scripture. He was important in his little area of Judea. He was important in his little time in history. But one day, he came face to face with a man like he had never met before. He came face to face with Jesus Christ. And he had a decision to make about Jesus Christ. He had a moment of confrontation. He had a moment of choice. Pilate said, bring some water. And in front of the crowd, he washed his hands. And he said, I'm innocent. And in so doing, he rejected the Savior. That was Pontius Pilate. Another man that we read about tonight was a man called Barabbas. He was a robber. He was a murderer. He was a freedom fighter for the Jewish state. He had been caught. He had been sentenced to death by crucifixion. Yet he too, in his own way, is confronted by Jesus Christ. Imagine Pilate in the cell. Maybe rat infested. Not very pleasant. It didn't have all the standards that we expect now, even for our prisoners. And he knows this is the day when sentence must be carried out. And as he is having his last meal, he can hear in the distance the people shouting, Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And he thinks, how cruel. How cruel. They're showing no mercy. And later on, he hears the tramp of the jailer coming down the prison. And the key goes into the lock. And the door opens. And there's no clever answer from Barabbas now. There's no smart comment. All the jokes are gone. And he's crouched in the corner. The jailer's at the door. The jailer says, Barabbas, you're free. And Barabbas says, don't make fun of me. Don't mock me. I heard them calling my name. I heard them begging for my blood. Don't make fun of me. He says, no, Barabbas. You're free. And Barabbas gathers himself and starts to make for the door. And he thinks that when he gets to the door, the big hand will come down his shoulder and an evil laugh and say, hey boy, you're going nowhere. But he's out past the jailer. And all the prisoners and the soldiers that spent so much time trying to catch him are standing back. And out into the courtyard. And the gates of the prison open. And there he is outside. And the gates close behind him. And he can't believe it. And he sees a crowd going out of the city of Jerusalem. And he stops one of the crowd and he says, what's going on? What's on today? And they say, have you not heard? They're crucifying Jesus of Nazareth and they're letting that scoundrel Barabbas go. And Barabbas walks outside the city gate to that little hill. And he sees on that middle cross, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, he died for me. He took my cross. He took my punishment. He took my guilt. He took my place. I go free. Imagine the next day he's going through Jerusalem. One of the soldiers spies him and goes over and grabs him and says, Barabbas, I've got you now. You say, no, no, you haven't. My punishment was paid in full. There was a man who died on that middle cross yesterday and he was taking my place. He took my punishment. I go free. And that's what happened to me at the age of 16. I realized that Jesus Christ on that middle cross took my place. He took the punishment for my sin. He took my judgment and I go free. And whenever the devil comes and says, Lawrence, you're a scoundrel. You shouldn't be on a platform. I say, no, 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 no. Wait a wee minute. My debt was paid in full. It's all canceled. The Lord Jesus died. A confrontation with Jesus Christ. But I want to come to the third man that I've read about in our reading. He's a man called Judas. His name has gone down in history as a name of betrayal and disloyalty. I remember there was a wee fellow in our school. He always was telling the teacher things. No one liked him, you know. All kinds of things happened to him. I wasn't involved, of course. You would know that. But things happened to him that didn't like him. And he got the nickname Judas. Judas, here's Judas coming. Betrayal. Deceit. Nobody liked him. But I want you to think for a moment about Judas. And the first thing I want you to think about is his privileges. Because Judas was a very, very privileged man. You say, in what way was he privileged? Well, let me suggest to you, first of all, he kept the very best of company. Didn't he? Why, here is a man, and for 3 years he walked with the Savior and he walked with the disciples. What a company. My, he knew John intimately, that beloved disciple who was so close to the Lord. He was on first name terms. He knew Peter, that great preacher who would see a mighty movement of God on the day of Pentecost, who was passionate and sincere and yet so easy to identify with because of his faults and failings. He knew Peter intimately, personally. Andrew, he knew Philip. He had the very best of company. But I want to tell you something. He's not with them now. No. He had the best company for 3 years. But all those disciples except Judas are now tonight rejoicing in glory because they trusted the Savior. And Judas, the actor, the hypocrite, is lost. Maybe I'm speaking to someone in Lisburn Baptist tonight. And you've kept the very best of company. Why, your wife saved, or your husband saved, or your parents are saved, or your brother saved, your sister saved. You have Christian friends. And whenever you're in their company, you just seem to fit into the crowd. And you watch your language, and you watch what you do, and you love their company and their friendship, and you just fit in with the crowd. And they're praying for you tonight at this very moment in the meeting. You're saying, Lord, save so-and-so. See them there, just three rows up, five across. Lord, save them tonight. And you've been in the very best of company. But like Judas, you could be in the very best of company and be lost. Not only the very best of company, there was another privilege. He heard the very best of preaching, didn't he? Why? He heard the Son of God explaining and expounding the gospel. He heard the Lord Jesus, who was 100% inspired, 100% Spirit-filled. He had no doubt heard the Lord Jesus quote those wonderful verses that we know and love. Matthew 11, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He no doubt was there on the last day of the feast in Jerusalem in John 7 whenever he stood up and people were getting parched and thirsty. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He saw the miracles. He saw the wonderful things the Lord did. That if they were all recorded, all the books on earth would not contain them. I wonder. Is there someone here in Lisburn tonight? Am I your privilege like Judas? You've been in the very best of company and present speaker excluded. Over the years, you've heard the very best of preachers. You've heard Pastor Cardwell for many years and before Pastor McBratney and Pastor Baxter. I was looking at their pictures up in the vestry before I came out tonight. Huh? And you can remember times of mission, and you've been in mission halls and faith mission and crusades, and you've heard the very best of preaching. And you know that you need to be saved. And you know the holiness and the sinlessness of God. And you know that never the twain will meet. And if you have one sin, you won't get into heaven. And you know how God loved you. That he sent his son to go to the cross to die for you. And you know he shed his blood. He gave his life that you might go free. And you've heard it from the best of preachers. And yet you still sit. You know about the love of God. You know about the Savior. You know about Calvary. You know you must be saved. You know you must repent. You know you must trust him. May you could even stand on this platform and preach it. Yet as God looks into your heart tonight, as God takes away all the excuses and all the sham and all the play acting, he says, I have given you the best of company, and you've heard the best of preachers, and yet
he still won't come. Something else. Not only he had the best of company, he had heard the best of preaching. Could I suggest to you that he had the very best of opportunity? For 3 or 3.5 years, Judas had opportunity to come to Christ and believe in him and trust him time and time and time again. I wonder what held him back. While hundreds, thousands were coming to Christ, was it embarrassment? Was it a difference of theology? Was it carelessness? Was it the money? He resisted the advice of the good company. He rejected the message of the good preaching. And he refused to make the most of his opportunities. Is there a Judas here tonight? Privileged. You've grown up in Lisburn Baptist. They've been praying for you in the prayer meeting for generations. Since you were born, they've been steeping you in prayer and saying, Lord, save them tonight. Lord, move tonight. Meet their need tonight. And you walk in tonight. Doesn't mean a thing. Privileges. Notice, secondly, not only the privileges, but the problem. His problem might be your problem. And if we're able to find out what his problem was, what went wrong, maybe it's the same that has gone wrong for you and why you're not a Christian tonight. Judas failed because he failed to see the importance of the spiritual over the material. Judas failed to get his priorities right. Judas got his eyes on a few pieces of silver, and because of that few pieces of silver, amongst other things, because he was robbing the purse all those three and a half years, but because of the money, it cost him his soul, and he lost the Savior. If I was able to open hell tonight, If I was able to remove the table and sink a shaft down to hell, and I was able to bring Judas to the meeting. Judas, come on up. Bring him up. Speak to these people. What do you think he'd say? If Judas could speak to you, I think I know what he'd say. I think first of all he would say, I have been such a fool. Give me a second chance. I think he would say, sorry, Judas. There's no second chance. What do you want to say to the people, Judas? I think he would say, don't be a fool like me. Make sure tonight you trust the Savior, because there's no second chance when you're gone. I think that's what he'd say. I think that's what he would say. But I can't bring him back. Judas is not here. But I want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. The Lord Jesus, the sinless Son of God, is here in Lisburn Baptist. The one who left heaven to come to earth. The one who died on the cross for sinners. He's here by his Spirit. And that churning in your stomach is not a preacher. It's called conviction. It's the Spirit of God striving. And that awareness of sin is not a preacher. That awareness of your sin is the Spirit of God speaking to you. And you starting to look at the cross in a new way and seeing the Lord Jesus take your place is not a preacher. That's the Spirit of God striving with you, saying, he died for you. I loved you. I sent my Son. Trust him. So your battle is not with the preacher tonight. Your battle is with the Lord Jesus himself. Judas, for a little ambition, lost his soul. Will you? Maybe it was pride held him back. Maybe that's the way it is with you, pride. And you'd be embarrassed. In fact, maybe the people here think you're saved. Right? And it'd be really embarrassing if you said, I got saved tonight. And they say, I thought you were saved 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I'll tell you, far worse if you die without the Savior. Maybe it's embarrassment. Maybe it's workmates. Maybe it's fears of not being able to keep it. But I tell you this, whatever your logic for not trusting Christ and for keeping him out of your life, that excuse is from the pit of hell itself. Because the devil wants to stop you coming to Christ. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But if it had been 30 pieces of gold or 30,000 pieces of silver, it was still a bad bargain. No matter what he got, said the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 8, 36, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Judas, his privileges, he was in the best of company. He heard the best of preaching. He had the best opportunities. Just like you. His problem, he got caught up with the immediate instead of the eternal. He thought, I'll do what I can just for now. And I'll not worry about eternity. And he made a bad bargain. Because we're only here for a wee short time. And the only thing that counts is what we do with Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that matters. Thirdly and finally, his privileges, his problem, his perdition. In the darkness, he received his bargain, 30 pieces of silver. Or did he? They were counted out to him. 1, 2, 20, 21, 28, 29, 30. Put them into his wee bag. Thought, boy, that was a good day's work. That was good. But in a little while, he was back. And he arrived back in the temple. And he said, I've made a mistake. I want to turn it round. I've betrayed the innocent blood. I've betrayed the Savior. I don't want to do it. I want to take it back now. And the callous man said, what is that to us? See ye to it. You've made your choice. You agreed the terms. You agreed 30 pieces of silver. We gave it to you. And Judas throws the coins down. And he walks out of the temple. And instead of going to the Savior and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He walked out and found a tree. And he got a rope and he hung himself. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if the rope broke or a branch snapped. But in Acts 1:18, it tells us that he fell headlong from the tree. He hit the ground and he burst asunder. And the scriptures record in Acts 1:25 that he went to his own place. Listen to me. I might never be in this platform again. But I do want to say to you, I would not wish a death like Judas's death on any man. I wouldn't wish a death like Judas's on my worst enemy. I wouldn't want an eternity like Judas on any man. Judas, with all his privileges, the best of company, the best of ministry, the best of opportunity, and he'll never forget the jingle of those 30 pieces of silver that cost him his soul. What's taking you to hell tonight? You scared? I'll tell you this. If I didn't have the Savior, I'd be more scared. Are you worried in case you can't keep it? No, no. He keeps you. It's not you keeping it. He keeps you. He strengthens you. He comes and he helps you. Three Thursdays ago, we have our Bible study on a Tuesday in Bali and our prayer meeting on a Thursday. There was a lady at the prayer meeting. She lives on a farm with her husband and her boy and her daughter. She left the prayer meeting. She called in somebody's home, and eventually she got home and she was having a cup of tea with her husband. They were chatting about the day, as you do, Norman and Mavis. All of a sudden, there was an explosion. Their son, Alistair, who works on the farm, was welding down in one of the sheds. And a spark came out and went into a can of thinners. And it exploded. He got it in the face, his arm. And the shed, half of it, is destroyed. He was taken to the burns unit in the Royal Victoria Hospital. I went up to see him. Alistair's very, very quiet. I don't think I've spoken more than half a dozen words to him. Usually at the door. Good to see you, Alistair. Good night. So he spoke. I went into the ward. Family. Awaiting to go in for skin grafts. And Alistair started to talk. And he was talking about the explosion. How he rescued the tractor. He hadn't realized how bad he was and had run back in to drive the tractor out. I said, Alistair, I've spoken to you more in the last 5 minutes than I've spoken to you in 5 years. And I said, while you're in the mood for talking, tell me, are you saved? And Alistair said, yes. I got saved in primary school. Pastor, I don't remember too much about it now, but I know I'm saved. And he says, I'm so glad, because I mightn't be here today. You might not be here tomorrow. This could be your last time in church. I have taken funerals for wee children with a wee coffin where the daddy put it under their arm. I was reminded this morning at the door of a young lad, Nigel Pickin, 15 years of age, drowned, early in my ministry. I've seen so many things in my 15 years, and I'm only learning. But I know enough to tell you that the only time you can be sure about is now. You say, what would I say? I'm not religious. I wouldn't know what to say. I don't know how to get saved. Will you understand that if I give you words, it's not the words so much. It's meaning them in your heart that counts. But whenever I sit with someone, as I can sit with you if you want tonight, And I tell them about the Savior, and they say, Pastor, I want to get saved now. I want to get saved right now. And they would pray something like this. Lord, I realize tonight that I'm a sinner. And that sin is taking me to a lost eternity. But tonight I realize that you love me. And Christ died for me. Tonight I am turning from my sin. And I'm resting on the finished work of Calvary. And as I do that, I want you to save me. I want you to take over my life. And God moves in. What a Savior. Jesus. Privileges? Lots of them. Problem? He lived just for the moment. He lived just for what he felt and how he was just now, and he forgot about eternity, just like you. And his perdition, lost for all eternity. You're on death row. Guilty before God. Judgment will be carried out. But a pardon is of you. Paid for by God Himself and available to you if you repent and trust Him. May you take it tonight for His glory and for your blessing.